Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Panthers Insider. I'm going to wrap things up here. We've been on this topic of college football realignment, college athletics realignment, football being the driver. Obviously, news coming out of Amelia Island this week. There were news of fights. There were news of the Magnificent Seven and the Unmagnificent Eight. There's a lot of conjecture, a lot of posturing, but obviously a lot of concern. A lot of concern because there's a significant financial gap between the ACC, the Big Ten, and the SEC. Now, what's important to note is the ACC is not the bottom of the barrel. Big 12, Pac-12, not quite as good of a deal as the ACC. Again, Pitt led all schools in the ACC in the 2021-2022 competitive year in terms of conference payout at $41.3 million. I think I said $41.8 earlier. That's incorrect. Another $500,000 unaccounted for. My bad. However, again, hindsight being what it is, it wasn't scratching $10 million in the Big East back in the day. So quadrupling your conference media right revenue, certainly a big deal going to the ACC, but the stakes are higher now. The stakes are higher. The college football playoff is going to 12. As it currently stands, you're looking at two teams from each Power 5 conference and two at-large is what you're probably looking at. So if you're not in that Power 5, and if it becomes a Power 4 or Super 3 or what it is, if you're not at that seat of the table, the path to a college football playoff, a national championship, at least through that lens, becomes more difficult. But let's go worst-case scenario, because I think that's where everyone's jumping, which is Pitt doesn't have a seat at the table. Where are they going to go? That's worst-case scenario. I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe the ACC finds a way. Go through a tier revenue model, incentivized revenue model, non-TV, so competitively based, performance-based, some sort of baseline TV revenue model that's supplemented with the opportunity to earn more. And it's been reported by the AD at Florida State that could be as much as $10 million for the top school. So you go to $41.3 million, $51.3 million. Now you're starting to close that delta a little bit more. What are those unique revenue streams? How does the ACC leverage those? They'll be incremental, but there's something. Because as we talked about with David Hill, his Twitter thread, which was really insightful, I recommend you take a look at it. The idea of ESPN renegotiating amidst cuts and things of that nature is unlikely. It's unlikely. Plus, they just paid McAfee a bunch of money, so they're tapped out. I'm just kidding. But it's unlikely they're going to renegotiate with 13 years left on the contract. I could be wrong. So what are those other revenue streams? I've heard pay-per-view discussed. I've heard streaming. There's all sorts of options. But let's just say it doesn't work out. Let's say Pitt is left without a seat at the table. Who else will be there as well? Who else will not have a seat at the table? And how many players have come through Pitt that weren't offered by Power 5 schools, Super 3 conference schools that have gone on to the National Football League? that have played in Acrisure Stadium against Cincinnati and West Virginia and Syracuse and Virginia Tech and Maryland and whoever else that would potentially get left out. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, I know Rutgers and Maryland are in the Big Ten right now, but don't think they couldn't get the boot if someone better was on the table. Because they haven't exactly competed from a football standpoint in terms of winning. They're doing great financially, at least from a conference distribution standpoint. But what I'm saying is there's going to be a lot of quality football that needs to be played. Football that has a chance to put you in a position a la Cincinnati, I would say better than a Cincinnati, to be a consistent top 25 team and have a chance to make the playoff. Now, is the path harder if you're not in one of those automatic bid type leagues? Absolutely. And again, I don't think it's going to get there. But all I'm saying is it's not time to pitch the tent, shutter the doors, and say this is over. We seem to get into this cycle all the time with this realignment talk. And it's fair. You're always looking to defend your own, right? Everyone cares about Pitt, wants Pitt to be relevant, wants Pitt to be on the national stage where it deserves to be. But I think it's important to realize that this isn't just about Pitt. There's a lot of other factors here, and there's other schools that are in a similar scenario. And that's why I always go back to, and again, I played in the Big East. I love the ACC. I think it's been great for Pitt. I enjoy going to each one of the schools. I think there's been quality football in the ACC, produced a number of great players, seen them play in person. But, you know, football over the last 10 years, if you look at the top 25, do yourself a favor. Take a look at the final top 25 standings over the past 25 years. And look at the SEC's growing dominance. Along with a Clemson, a Florida State. There's so much talent down south. That talent is staying down south. But there's talent that's getting missed down south that's coming up north. And there's still talent in the Northeast and Midwest that you need to fight to keep. And I think the way you keep it is not by dividing. Not by West Virginia and Pitt and Penn State and Virginia Tech. It's not by splitting up. To me, it's by locking arms. And I know everyone's beholden to their conference, but I think we owe it to fans. I think we owe it to players in this region to start playing these games more consistently. You look at Pitt's schedule coming up. West Virginia is a consistent place in the schedule. I vote for it every single year. Pitt and West Virginia need each other more now than ever. Now more than ever. That game is important. Bob Pompeiani and Josh Roundtree in the studio.
Why don't we just do a whole new radio show? Here's the Pat Bostic Hour. Make it longer. You can cut. No, I don't want to do that for you, Josh. Because
we could do some sort of combination of the Pomp Show, the Pitt Show, and Bucko Talk all at once. We could just find a way to merge it all together.
That would be fun. That would be fun. But we're talking about this college football, you know, realignment stuff. And, you know, my point, Bob, is just who knows what's going to shake out. But there's a lot of meaningful games that still will need to be played, regardless of what conference they're in. And to me, it starts 45 minutes away from each other, Pitt and West Virginia. That went dormant for a while. It went dormant for a while, and I think we found out last August that that game is really important. And that despite the differences, and again, as someone that's played in that game is incredibly relevant. And there are other ones like it. We'll see what Cincinnati brings to the table. I don't expect it to draw like West Virginia. I'm not going to beat the Penn State drum because that drum gets beat by everybody else. But man, are those games important.
We saw it. And Josh, the lead up to it, right, Pat? It was unbelievable. That's what you want.
No question.
It's the game is the game. It's going to be a good game because they're rivals. But it was the lead up to it. We didn't get that with all those other games. That's to me, the part of college football I love the most is the lead up, the day of, all the excitement.
Yep.
Whatever it can be.
Yeah, I mean, I thought just the parking lot beforehand said it all, right? I mean, it was just a madhouse out there with the expectation of it. And yeah, I'm worried that, you know, like what you were saying, Pat, that with conference expansion, you're going to have to play so many games against your conference teams that non-conference rivalries like that, you know, if Pitt and West Virginia are not in the same conference, if things do blow up, which hopefully, I hope that they don't, But if they're not in the same conference, like, it's going to be hard for, and I'm not just speaking about Pitt and West Virginia, I'm talking across the board, it's going to be hard for those non-conference rivalries, I think, to remain, because you're not going to want to play a top team in your non-conference if you then have to go play this rigorous conference schedule, especially if you're an SEC team. I mean, think about, if you're an SEC team, you have Texas and Oklahoma now coming into your conference. I mean, you add that to what's already a strong football conference, it's going to be really tough to play non-conference games anymore, to justify playing non-conference games against, you know, powerful teams in other conferences.
Yeah, well, you're going to see, I think you're going to see a
money will win.
There'll be a moratorium on these 1AA FCS games. Those will go away. I mean, to me, the backyard brawls every year. You have to do it.
It should be.
You have to do it. It's on TV. This is about eyeballs. And if you're not in the SEC or Big Ten, you've got to make an impression to be up there. I, as things currently stand, you got to play big games. You got to play Tennessee. You got to play West Virginia. You got to play those games. And to me, again, I'd like them to be more local than not, right? I'd like to see Pitt. I'd love to see a schedule with Pitt, Penn State, and Pitt, West Virginia on it.
No, I think all of us.
You look at the eight. You look at the early '80s. Look at the schedules those teams played.
Yeah,
and it was independent. Obviously, you're an Eastern independent at the time. There wasn't a conference affiliation, but it was Murderer's Row.
Yeah,
I mean, like, a break was Rutgers, you know, or Temple. Yeah.
And the good thing is playoff expansion.
Yeah.
Will help this, I think, that, you know, it's not going to be like, oh man, we can't play a tough non-conference schedule because we might get left out of the four.
Yeah.
Now there's 12. There's a little bit more wiggle room. I would like 16, to be honest, but 12 is at least a good compromise.
So real quick, what is your most likely outcome, Pat, of this whole thing? With, I saw all kinds of different stories of what was going on. Amelia Island is a nice place. You have a lobby bar. You don't expect to hear that kind of crap going on down there with these athletic directors and whoever else is involved. For now, I don't see anything happening.
I don't see anything happening. I think there's a lot of... There's a lot going on right now that has the athletic directors really nervous, quite frankly. Obviously, conference realignment being one of them, but also, I mentioned earlier, there's a couple big lawsuits out there that have a lot to do with employment status for football and basketball players. You're looking at these, if that were to go in the direction of football and basketball players becoming employees, you're looking at tens of millions of dollars annually. It changes the entire financial model of college athletics. The playoff is on the horizon. Expanding to 12. Teams are posturing, right? They know that the path is going to get easier, potentially, to get into the playoff, because it's a widened lens. It's more of an opportunity. So they're trying to get their money while they can before things stabilize again. So I just think there's a lot that has ADs nervous, presidents nervous right now, and the schools that have the most to gain are sticking their neck out and puffing their chest. Clemson, Florida State. Could one of them leave? Maybe. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens to Texas and Oklahoma. I think they're going to get their teeth kicked in, quite frankly, in that league.
That's
it might
insane.
Take them some time. But I think, I mean, Oklahoma's had the stranglehold on the Big 12 for a while, but what'd they do last year?
I mean, I'll be honest. I think the same thing's going to happen to USC and UCLA going to the Big 10, too. I don't think that they're ready to go play a noon kickoff at Iowa when it's 30 degrees against what a school like that is going to bring on the field. Like, I think that's going to be a huge adjustment for some of those teams, and the immediate returns, you know, might not be all that fun.
What's the Coliseum in USC going to look like for USC Northwestern? I mean,
what's a lacrosse game between Rutgers and UCLA going to look like? I mean, and my question is, are they going to play these games?
It's not going to be profitable, I can tell you that.
Right.
But there's just a lot going on right now, and this is a time of the year, this is that kind of vacuum window where everyone's looking forward to football, there's nothing to talk about.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.